Okay, so we are in the middle of Shmuel Aleph Perek Tes, Chapter 9. So, last week, no, just Tes, 9. Last time, we talked about Shaul and his Nar. They were glad his servant. They were trying to track down Shaul's father's goats. And they... Donkeys, thank you. Donkeys. And they wandered all over. And eventually they found themselves outside this town, which is identifying as Suf. And it's not clear if that was really the name or it was called that, referred to as that, because there was a Navi there. Suf is like Tofet, to like see, to look. And although it doesn't seem that Shmuel lived there, but rather he was just visiting for some this event. And in the end, they're about to turn back, and the servant convinces Shaul that they should go into the town to see Shmuel, to see the prophet who's there, and ask him about his, you know, if he can tell them what happened to their donkeys. Different ways to understand it, whether they just wanted to know where their donkeys were, or whether they understood that this whole situation was very strange, and there must be some more meaning behind it, what was going on, and that's why they wanted to go and seek Shmuel's advice. But either way, they make a decision to enter the town, and as they're entering, they encounter a whole group, a gaggle of girls coming out, and these girls start telling them about how they should hurry and, you know, go inside quickly because Shmuel is about to be called out because they are going to, maybe we'll start with that, Pasuk Yud Gimel in verse 13. So they say, they tell Shaul and the servant, Kivoachem Ha'ir, when you come to the city, came Tintu Noso, you'll find him, B'terem Yaleh HaBamasa Le'echol, before he goes to the Bama, to the high place, the altar, to eat, because the nation, the people are not going to eat until he comes, because he is going to make the blessing on this zevach. We'll have to see what this zevach was. Zevach is a word that's generally used for the mundane, for slaughtering, but it's also sometimes used in the context of a karban. So we'll have to see what it was. Once he makes the bracha, we talked a lot about the bracha last week, so then those who are invited will eat the acha alu, and they say, now hurry, you should go, because you'll find him now today. And they went up to the city, Shaul and his servant, they were coming, they were about to enter, they were entering the city, v'nei Shmuel yotze likrasam, and Shmuel came out to greet them, la'alot ha'bama, to go up to this bama where this zevach would be taking place. And now, the Navi inserts a little information. It says, v'ashem, gala es ozen Shmuel yom echot v'sevo shol lemor. Hashem had revealed to the ear of Shmuel a day before Shaul's arrival, telling him the following. Ka'es, Pasuk Tazayin, Ka'es Machar, at this time tomorrow, Hashem told Shmuel, Eshlach Elecha Ish Me'eretz Binyamin, I'm going to send you a man from the tribe of Binyamin, U'mishachto L'Nagid Al Ami Yisrael, and you should anoint him as a Nagid, maybe we could translate as prince, over the nation of Israel, the Hoshia es Ami Miad Pelishtim, and he will save my nation from the hands of the Pelishtim. At this point, the Pelishtim are again oppressing the Jewish people. Ki ra'isi es Ami, because I have seen my nation, ki ba ta'akaso elai, because their cries have come to me.
Are they terrorizing them,
it's not clear to me. It doesn't say explicitly anywhere, but the Mefarshim do say over here, I think, you know, they say, The Malbim says lochzav, they're pressuring them. The Radak says the Pushtim are making war with them. He pushed him hayo nochamim b'hem eis shezakan Shmuel. And from the time that Shmuel got old, you know, until Shmuel was old, so then things were smooth, and then once he got older, sort of at the time when his son started to take over, then things got bad, and says they were at war with them. Right, so I don't know if they're ruling them. Yeah.
I think the Radak says that they did, after Shmuel got old, and they weren't listening to him anymore, that they fell into the hands of the Pushtim.
So over here the Radak just says milchamim b'hem. They were waging war with them.
The Yud Gimel Gimel.
Yud Gimel Gimel. Okay, so that's later, I guess. Okay. Yeah. These words, by the way, are sort of reminiscent of the same terms the Pasuk uses in Mitzrayim. Says the Bayar b'sivlosam, Hashem saw their suffering. It says,
the cry of the people has come out.
Yeah, kiba, takas, and Yisrael. Very similar terminology over there in Mitzrayim. So Hashem says the same thing here. I see my nation. I see their suffering. Their cries, their prayers have come out to me. And I'm going to send them redemption.
There was no bad connotation.
Not in this pasuk necessarily. You know, earlier we had, right, by the asking
they really weren't supposed to be asking for it.
Maybe not for a king. That's the whole question, which we discussed. But if they're suffering, then tefillah is the correct response. And that seems to be all that this pasuk is referring to. Shmuel ra'a eshal, and Shmuel saw eshal, v'ashem anahu, and Hashem answered him, Nei ha'ish asher amarti elecha, ze yatzar be'ami. So Shmuel, as Shaul enters the town and Shmuel sees him, so Hashem sends Shmuel a prophecy that this is the man that I told you about, ze yatzar be'ami. Interesting language, this man will be yatzar be'ami. So the Mefarshim say that yatzar just means yimshal, he'll rule over. The way that Rashi explains it is that because that's what a ruler does. Because yatzar really means to stop. This one will stop my nation. So what does that mean, to stop? So Rashi explains it means to rule. And what it means is he'll control them. You know, in battle, he'll make sure they don't scatter. He'll hold them together. And that's the idea of yatzar, stopping in terms of ruling. There's Achron, a student of the Ramchal, Ramosha David Vali. So he also has a perish on Navi. And Mr. Sozov quotes him with a different pshat, different understanding of this word yatzar. Very interesting idea. He says that the word yatzar here means like a stopgap, like he'll fill in. That Hashem was saying this man will hold the place for David HaMelech. Because right now they're asking for a king, they need a king, however you want to say it. But it's not. It's really it's supposed to be for Malchus Beis David. You know, the kingship is supposed to be from the house of David, the tribe of Yehuda. He's just going to be like a temporary fill-in. He'll stop up the gap, sort of. So that's yatzar, according to Moshe David Vali. Fine. Pasuk Yod Chet. Vayigash Shaul es Shmuel b'soch hashar, and Shaul reached. He greeted Shmuel in the gate. Vayomer, and he said, Hagidon Ali, please tell me, Eze Beis Haroe, where is the house of the seer? Shaul didn't know who Shmuel was. He came to the town in order to see the prophet. So he asked Shmuel, where's the prophet's house? How do I get there? Vayan Shmuel as Shaul, and Shmuel answered Shaul Vayomer, and he said, Anochi Haroeh, I am the seer. Alei lefanei habama, come with me, go up before me to the bama, v'achaltem imi hayom, and you'll eat with me today, v'shilachicho v'aboker, and I'll send you off in the morning, v'chol asher bilbabcho agidlach, and everything that's in your heart, I will tell you, I am indeed the seer. The Radak comments over here that this was very normal, the way that it wasn't a lack of humility to say, Anochi Haroeh, I'm the seer, because he asked him, where's the house of the Roeh, where is it? So he had to answer him. He had to say, it's me. I'm the, you know, you're looking for the seer, it's me. And that was very normal, says the Radak. However, he says, when I say this, I'm arguing on Chazal. Because Chazal said that this was improper, that this was a sign of, you know, at least, you know, according to Shmuel's level, a very small amount of arrogance to say, oh, I'm the seer, me. And Chazal say that he was punished for this, that later when it came time to anoint David HaMelech, so he got a little mixed up. He thought that it would be the older son, and he didn't have, you know, the clarity of a Navi necessarily at that for a moment there, as a punishment for saying, I am the seer. Now, it could be, you know, the Radak may be right, that indeed he was supposed to answer. You know, he asked him, you know, where's the house? He has to say, it's me, right? We once talked about, a couple years ago, one of our first classes here, I think when we were learning Shiras Dvorah, maybe, somewhere around there, that there's a difference between the word Anochi and Ani. And I don't remember exactly how we said it, but Anochi is a stronger, you know, term.
Doesn't Anochi definitely mean I am, whereas Ani could just mean I, or it could be implied like...
Oh, you could say Ani Haroeh. That, I don't think that would be improper.
No,
they,
right,
they have a different connotation.
Would be like a very strong, would be like...
Yeah, it's the Clay Yarkas thing.
Like in
the
first
place. You should have said Ani.
Ani, okay. So I was machaving to Clay Yarkas. But we talked, I don't remember what we said about it, you know, but we talked about how there's a difference between Anochi and Ani, and Anochi is like a stronger term,
more emphatic,
and perhaps that's where the slight, you know, misstep of Shmuel HaNavi that Chazal saw was he should have been a little bit more humble in telling him that he was a Roeh by saying Ani Haroeh, I am the prophet, instead of saying Anochi.
Perhaps he could have said, people call me the Roeh.
Right.
Or he could have said Anochi without saying Roeh.
Okay, yeah. All these
different variations.
Yeah.
Taking a little bit away.
So immediately, Shmuel invites Shaul to this meal. So The Alshech learns here that this whole meal was prepared, this whole Zevach situation was prepared because Shaul was coming. You know, that the whole entire purpose of this big Seuda that they were going to make, this is very not clear in the Pesukim, but that's how the Alshech learns, and this was part of the Nevuah that Shmuel had received, was that this person is going to come and he's going to be the one to anoint as the king. And what we will see, you know, according to the general approach of the Mefarshim, is that Shmuel did have food set aside for Shaul. He absolutely knew he was coming. Whether the whole purpose of the meal was for Shaul or not, that may, you know, be up for discussion. But it seems clear that he had asked for food to be set aside for Shaul, knowing that he was coming. So he immediately invites Shaul to join him, and he tells him, "Mechol asher bilvavcha agidlach, and all that's in your heart, I'll tell you on a simple level, It means, you know, you wanted to find a prophet, you had a question. I'll answer your question. I'll tell you what you need to know. However, it seems like he was telling him more than that, because on the very next line, very next pasuk, he says, "V'lo asonosa avdos l'cha." And about those donkeys that you lost, notice Shaul doesn't tell him about them, but Shmuel knows why he's here. Hayom, shloshes hayomim, that today now they've been lost for 3 days, atasim asleep kolohem, don't even put your heart on them, don't think about it, kinim so, because they've already been found. So, it sounds like, you know, Shmuel already knows about the donkey problem. He tells him, don't worry about it, they've been found. So if you go back to the previous pasuk, and when he says, v'chol asher b'lepavcha agiduach, whatever's in your heart, I'll tell you. So, he seems to be referring to something besides for the donkeys, because he tells him that without him asking. And so, it seems he's saying, you know, if you have questions, I'll, you know, I can answer them in learning, in Torah, in anything. So, you know, ask away. And then, at the end of Pasuk Chaf, Shmuel drops a hint here, and he says, "Ulemi kolchem das Yisrael, halo lecha ulechol beis avicha." He says, why do you care about these donkeys? Who has all the preciousness of Israel? It's yours. Ulechol beis avicha, and it belongs to your father's house. Shmuel already is giving Shaul a hint that he's going to have a lot more, that donkeys are going to be, a few donkeys is going to become kind of irrelevant in what's about to happen in Shaul's life. You're about to take control of Kol Chemdas Yisrael, of all the preciousness that's in Israel, meaning he's hinting to him that he's going to take the kingship. And Shaul understands that there's some kind of reference going on. And he says, Vayan Shaul, and Shaul answers, Vayomer, and he says, Halo, Benyamini Anochi. I'm from Binyamin. Miktane Shifta Yisrael. From one of the smallest of Shvatim. Umishbachti Yatzir, Mikol Mishbacho Shifta Binyamin. And my family is the youngest of all the Benjamite families. The Lama Dibarti Eli Kadavara saying, why are you speaking to me in this way? Why are you speaking to me as if I'm this great person? I have Kol Chemdas Yisrael, I have all the preciousness of Israel. And Farshim points out, I saw someone point out, maybe in the Mishnah Zav, that you see also Shaul's humility here. First of all, he assumes that it has nothing to do with him. Right? He doesn't say, I'm not such a great guy, right? Already to say that is already like giving that, like, that the reason why Shaul is saying this is because of him. That doesn't even cross his mind. It certainly has nothing to do with me. So maybe it has something to do with my family or my yichus. So he says, I don't even have such great yichus. I'm from the smallest family of Binyamin, which is one of the smallest tribes. So why are you speaking to me in this way that I'm, you know, this great person or I'm going to have this great role?
What is the argument?
What does youngest mean, or what's the significance of that?
There's
a hierarchy given according to age, I guess, and maybe it carried on through the years that there were more prominent families because
probably they were the youngest.
Right. So age often sets prominence that
age. Great grandfather came from the youngest son of the government.
I'm not sure, I guess. I don't think it traces him all the way back to Binyamin. It says Shmokish ben Aviel ben Sor ben Bechoras ben Asiyach ben Ishimini. Afiach is not one of the names of the children of Binyamin, so I don't know for sure which family he came from.
Um, By
saying what?
That I'm like from the youngest family.
I mean, I assume that he was if he said it, but what he's saying is that despite, right, he's saying, you know, this has nothing to do with me, obviously. I'm not a great guy, so maybe it has to do with my yichus, with my you know, my upbringing. So, you know, my family background. So to that he says, can't be, because that doesn't make sense. We're the smallest shevet, the youngest shevet, the youngest family. So we don't have yichus, we don't have prominence.
So much further back in this family tree.
Yeah. Okay. Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayikach Shmuel es Shaul ves Naro. And Shmuel took Shaul and his lad, his servant, Vayiviyem Lishkasa, and he brought them to the gathering place. Vayiting Lohem Makom Birosh HaKruin. And he gave them a place at the head table of the, at the head of the, of all the invitees, all the guests. Vehema Kishloshim Ish, and they were about 30 people. And he put Shaul right up front. Vayomer Shmuel Lataba, and Shmuel said to the butcher, Tina es, or the, you know, the guy at the carving station, Tina es hamana asher nasati lach, give that portion that I gave you, asher amarti yilecha, that I told you about, Timo Sayimah, that I said, you know, keep it with you. So give that piece to Shaul. So Shmuel is now making it clear to both Shaul and to others that he was well aware that Shaul would be coming. He says to the butcher, you remember that piece that I set aside for Shaul? You know, bring it forth. Bring it forth now. He's here, the person we've all been waiting for. I think some of Farshim say that even that Shmuel had to let everyone know that this was going to happen. Everyone in the town, even the young girls who met him, they knew that they were supposed to be expecting someone. And that's why they were, you know, very helpful to Shaul to make sure he found where he needed to go. But over here as well, Shmuel had set aside a piece for Shaul. Vayarem hatabach es hashok vehe aleha vayasem lifnei Shaul. And the tabach, the butcher, he lifted up the thigh, vehe aleha, and the piece that was on top of it. Vayasem lifnei Shaul, and he placed it before Shaul. Vayomer, and he said, Hinei hanishar, here is what's left. Sim lefanecha echol, put it before you and eat. Ki lamoed shamor lecha lemar ha'am karasi, because from yesterday, you know, from before, it was saved for you. And I invited the people, and Shmuel ate with Shmuel on that day. So, it when it says hanishar, we don't mean it's like leftovers that nobody wanted. What we mean is, and that's what Shmuel is making clear, this is a piece that was left aside for you. From before, from, you know, for a time, it's been saved for you. Sorry, for the purpose of this moed, for the purpose of this meeting, for the purpose of this event, it was saved for you, and I invited these people. I told him ha'am karasi. I told the butcher how many people there were going to be, and we made sure to have a piece of meat, a special piece of meat, set aside just for you, Shaul. So here we kind of get to, you know, the eating of this zeba, whatever it was. And now we can try to see what, you know, what was it? Was this a carbon that they were enjoying together? Was this just, you know, a big kiddush at the carving station? Just, you know, enjoying a suda in honor of Shaul. So the discussion really starts with this interesting word where it says, v'hashok v'he'aleha. The shok, thigh, gave him this, this thigh, and that which was on top of it. So what does that refer to? So the Gemara discusses this, and the Gemara has three opinions. The first opinion says, this is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. He says it refers to the alya. The alya is the tail, which what are we eating here? Doesn't say what it was. I think the assumption here is that it was a bowl or something. I think that's going to be part of the discussion. Is what were they? What was the animal? I don't think we saw it identified. So, but the alya is the tail. It's the saggy part. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. So why does it say v'he'aleha and that which was on top of it? Why is that how they refer to it? So he says because it's right above the shok. It's right above the thigh. The tail. That's the first opinion. Rabbi Elazar says that it refers to the chaze, which is the chest, the bosom, I think. Chaze, the shok, often go together. As we'll see why. It might refer to the front more. I'm not exactly sure which part of the animal is the chaza, but
the breast,
right? So what's the breast of the animal? Is it the front? I guess I'm not even sure. You know, if you're looking at an animal, where's the breast? But So that's the second opinion. And why is it called he'aleha? So it's not actually right above the thigh. However, he says, when you do the tenufa, when you for the shlamim, so part of the shlamim carbon, which is the carbon that you eat most of the meat from, that's the carbon that the people bringing an olah gets burnt up completely. The chatas is eaten by the kohanim. It's the shlamim that everybody partakes of. So the owners get to partake of. So part of it gets given to the kohanim usually, and that is the chaza, the shok, the breast and the thigh. And there was a tenufa; it was normally waved together by the kohen before that. So here, according to Rabbi Lazar, they gave the chaza, the shok, the breast and the thigh to Shaul. Didn't I just say that it's normally given to the kohen? So how could they give it to Shaul? He was from the tribe of Binyamin. He wasn't the Kohen. So Rashi asks that question on the Gemara, and Rashi says, there's another Gemara that tells us that on that which the chaz of the Shaul goes to the Kohen, that's only a carbon that's brought on the Mizbeah. But on a Bama Ketana, on a private Bama, so the chaz of the shok does not go to the kohen. And that's why here was a private mizbeach. They were able to give the chaz of the shok to Shaul. That's the second opinion. And the third opinion is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmeni. And he says that it was the shok and the shofi, which seems to be like I don't know if it was probably not the bone, but Rashi says the kaf hayerech hasovev etzem akulyus. It's the like joint bone above the thigh bone. So I think like wherever the thigh bone goes into on the cow's leg, somewhere over there. That's the third opinion. There's three opinions. One says it was the alya. right? We have, the pasuk says shok. It says the thigh and that which was on top of it. So what does that refer to? First opinion says it refers to the alia, the tail, which is sort of above, it's near the thigh. The second opinion says it refers to the breast, which isn't really above the thigh, but when you do the tenufa, when you shake them, so then you do them together, it, then it's above it. And the third opinion says that it refers to this joint bone above the thigh. Those are the three opinions. So the Radvaz was asked a question regarding the first opinion. The first opinion was that it was the alia. So the question was that normally on a shlamim, the alia, the tail, gets burnt up. That's the part that goes on the mizbeach, or one of the parts that goes on the mizbeach. So how could they give the alia of this carbon to Shaul that is normally burnt on the mizbeach? So the person who asked the Radvaz this question actually set the entire discussion regarding possible answers to the question, and questions on that. So the first answer that he suggested, how could they eat the alia, it's supposed to be burned on the mizbeach. So the first answer he said was similar to the second answer, to the second point that Rashi makes, which is, he says, perhaps that which we say that the alia is burnt on the mizbeach for a carbon shlamim, that's only if it's brought on the real mizbeach, a bama gedola. However, just like we said that there's no chaz of a shok to the kohen on a private bama, on a private altar, so similarly, perhaps, he says, the alia, the tail, doesn't go on the mizbeach and gets eaten by the people bringing the karbon when it comes to a bama ktana. That was his answer. That was his first answer. So he says, and this is still the person writing to the Radvaz, he says, however, they asked on this answer that, what's the source for that? You can't just say that, oh, there's a part of the carbon that doesn't get burnt on the mizbeach. That would be something that requires a source. And if there's no source in the Torah for that, there's no source that a shlamim, when brought on a bama ktana, that you can eat the alia, you can eat the tail, and it doesn't get burned up. So then how could they do this? How could we assume that? You would need some kind of source in the Torah. So therefore, he moves on to a different answer. And he says that actually, this alia did not come from a karbon. Indeed, they were bringing a karbon, but they were also eating chulin as well. They were also eating regular meat as well. Alpiras HaKodesh, he says, they were pure. But it seems that there's some sort of mila to that, to eating regular meat along with the karbon. And that is where the alia came from.
Why would you even think it was from the carbon?
It seems to refer to a carbon. Talking about a bama, right? They're bringing. Now, what's the bama doing there? So, so this answer is also not taking up because, because, first of all, the implication is that the shok certainly came from the carbon, because and this is an important point, the significance of giving Shaul the shok, the thigh, is because that is a chashav part of the carbon. We normally give it to the kohen, right? So that's a special part of the carbon. To give it to Shaul is, that's an honor. So that seemed to be from the carbon. So if the second part, the alio, let's say, wasn't part of the carbon, so then why did it say the shok and that which was on top of it? If they're from two different animals, it should have said the shok and the alia. By saying the shok and that which is on top of it, so what it's showing is that both pieces are from the same piece of meat, the same carbon, and that would imply that it did, in fact, come from the carbon. Not only that, he says, but Rashi, we mentioned before, asked a question on the second answer. The second answer was that it was indeed the chazev ashok, the breast and the thigh, which normally goes to the kohen. So Rashi asked the question, how can you give it to the Shaul? It's supposed to go to the kohen. So Rashi answered, well, this is different because it's a Bama Ketana. So if it's true that we have to say the same thing for the Gemara's first answer, which is that it was the choke and the Aliyah, the thigh and the tail, and you have to ask, oh, how could you eat the tail? The tail is normally brought as a carbon. So Rashi should ask that question. He should say, oh, you know why? Because this is a Bama Ketana. The fact that Rashi didn't ask that question seems to imply that that was not the case, that there was no special leniency of bringing the Aliyah as a this is the question on the first answer. There's no leniency of bringing the Aliyah on a Bama Ketana. Okay, anyways, moving on to the other possible answers here. So the Radbaz himself gives his own answer, and he says he has numerous questions on all the different answers, but in the end the Radbaz gives his own answer, and he says that the machlokas in this Gemara is about whether this was a karban or it was just a zevach, you know, a celebration, slaughtering an animal to have a feast on. The opinion that says that they gave Shaul from the shok and the aliyah, the shok, the thigh, and the tail, held that this wasn't a karban. And that's why they were allowed to give him from the aliyah. The aliyah, or if it's a karban, you burn the aliyah on the mizbeach. But since it wasn't a karban, then they could eat it. Not only that, but we see from the fact that it normally gets put on the mizbeach that this is a chashev piece of meat. And therefore, to give it to Shaul would be an honor, and that's why they gave him these two pieces, the thigh and the tail. That's the first opinion of the Gemara, and the second opinion that says, and perhaps the third opinion as well, that says that it was a karban. So that opinion, that says that they gave him the chaz of a shok, they gave him the thigh and the thigh and the breast. So that opinion held that it was indeed a karban, and that's the most chashev part of a karban that you can give. It's normally given to the kohen, but because it was a bama ketana, because it was a private altar, it's not given to the kohen, so they gave it to Shaul as a special honor. Okay. Pasuk Chafei, verse 25. Vayerdu mehabama ha'ir, and they went down from the bama into the city. Vaydaber im Shaul al Hagag, and Shmuel spoke to Shaul on the roof, seemingly a private place for private discussion. And it doesn't really say what he spoke to him about at that juncture. Rashi tells us that he was teaching him, he was giving him muster. Rashi's mochicho, he was rebuking him, umelam de liir as a kadosh baruch hu, and teaching him to fear Hashem. Basically, he was prepping him. He was giving him a muster shmuz to prep him for the position that he would take shortly. Vayashkimu.
Here it says, Vayagra and Babam said they were discussing mystical secrets of the Torah.
Aha. Okay, yeah, right. He will go Sistre Torah, Minyanam Elokim. Teaching him deep stuff. He had to know Kabbalah before he could be the king. So, okay, Vayashkimu. The next morning they got up. Vayhi Kalos HaShachar, and it was at dawn, Vaikra Shmuel al Shaul, and Shmuel called to Shaul Hagag Leimar, back to the roof again, telling him, Kuma, come up, Va'ashalecha, and I will send you off. Vayakam Shaul, and Shaul got up, Vayetzu Shneim, Shmuel Achutza, and the two of them went out, Shaul and Shmuel went outside. Hema Yardim Bikseyair, they were going down to the edge of the city. Shmuel Amar al Shaul, and Shmuel said to Shaul, Emor lanar v'yavar lifoneinu, tell this lad and he should pass from us, he should go, he should move on, he shouldn't be with us now. V'yavar, and that's what the lad did. V'ata, and you Shaul, amod kayom, stand here today. V'ashmiacha estivar elokim, and now I will tell you the word of God. So Shaul sends off the nar, makes sure, Shmuel does, and, or he tells Shaul to, and he makes sure that it's very private and that nobody else is there in order to see what is going to happen next. So we're going to look at one more pasuk. We'll do pasuk aleph of the next parak. Vayikach Shmuel es pach hashemet, and Shmuel took the jug of oil, vayitzok al rosho, and he poured it on his head, vayishakeyu, and he kissed him, vayomer, and he said, hello, behold, si mishokacho Hashem anachlaso le'nagid. Hashem has anointed you on his inheritance, on his people, as a nagid, as a prince, as a leader. It's interesting that we don't use the word melech. Before we didn't use it, doesn't use it again. So it seems to be saying something about the true depth of what Shaul's anointing was. You know, was he a full-fledged king or not? So there is a fair amount of discussion around this pasuk of what was used to anoint Shaul. Was he anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil that is used, you know, that was used, seemingly the same one that was used in the Mishkan, when Moshe Rabbeinu anointed the Mishkan and the Kohanim, which is used for anointing kings as well? Or was it not? Actually, Jared, if we could trade for a second. We're not really reading any more Pesukim anyways, but... So the discussion starts with a Gemara. The Gemara says in Krisus, so it says, Malchei Beis David Moshchin, Malchei Yisrael Ein Moshchin. The kings from the house of David, they get anointed with the anointing oil, and the kings of the house of Shaul, of Yisrael, kings of Yisrael, do not. Malchei Yisrael do not. So the question is going to be, that's all, you know, later on in the time of the Jewish people, when there were kings from Yehuda, and Yisrael was broken off, and the nations, you know, there were the 10 tribes split off from Yehuda, and at that point, the Gemara is saying about that, that the people of the kings of Yehuda, the true line of kings, they were continuing to be anointed with Shemen HaMishcha until it was hidden away. I think Chizkiyahu maybe hid it away, but what about the but the kings of Israel of the 10 tribes were not anointed with the anointing oil. So what about Shaul, who preceded all of them? So it's really a machlokes Rishonim. It's a dispute among the Rishonim. They bring a number of opinions. Rashi says, on that Gemara actually, Rashi says that Malchei Yisrael don't get anointed with the oil, Misha Ba David, from David and on. Says Rashi, about Shaul Nimshach, but Shaul was anointed with that oil. Tosafot Yeshanim says the same thing. The Radak, by us, he argues, and he says that it was not the Shemen HaMishcha, that was only used for the kings of Beis David. Rather, it was Shemen Afarsimon. It was some kind of other spiced oil that they used. And the Radak says that Shaul and the later king Yehu, who were only... Oh, there's a different point, which I think we'll maybe start with next week. what was used, what was the vessel that was used. But before that, just in terms of the oil, so the Rashi and Tosfos Yeshanim say that they used the anointing oil. The Radak says that they did not. The Rambam also seems to say that they did use the Shemen HaMishra. Yeah, the Rambam at least implies. The Rambam says that when you anoint a king, you use Shemen HaMishra, and he quotes our pasuk. So that seems to imply that they use the Shemen HaMishra, they use the anointing oil when anointing Shaul. So maybe we'll talk next week about the difference between using a jug, which was used for Shaul, or using a keren, using a horn, which was used for David.
Thank you, Rabbi.